Well, as I was telling the children up here, we have one more day to thank God for the blessings of His grace and all that He's done for us in throughout our lives, but especially in 2006. And while at the same time we look to the future and we ask for His blessings to continue, for only He knows the things that will transpire in this new year. And I think it's appropriate today that we visit Simeon and Anna, as on the 40th day of Jesus' life, His parents do for Him which was prescribed by the law of Moses, and they brought Him to the temple. Now, this is not a circumcision, which is on the 8th day, but this is really for Mary's purification and also the dedication of the child, the firstborn male, to the Lord. Now, their offering was two doves. In the Old Testament, that was for poor people, the prescription. For wealthier ones, they could bring a lamb and another animal. One dove was required for a burnt offering, and one dove was required for a sin offering. Now, the animals were sacrificed, but the children, the firstborn who were brought, were to serve God all of their lives. Now, this is a little different from what we might think, where we read in the Old Testament, Hannah brought her son Eli and left him there in the tabernacle of the Lord to serve God as a priest. The priests, the tribe of the priests, the Levites, served the Lord in their religious duties, and they really served in the place of all the firstborn male people of God in their place, rather symbolically. But it is true that all the firstborn children were dedicated to the Lord. This was the law and culture for all God's people at this time. So on this great occasion for the Joseph family, they came down to the temple to fulfill this wonderful and happy task, and they met two people there. You know them. Simeon, an older man, as our text from Luke 2 says, was holy and righteous. The Holy Spirit had told Simeon at one time in his life that he wouldn't be departing for the kingdom of heaven until he saw with his own eyes the promised one, the Redeemer of Israel. That was a special message he must have gotten sometime in his life from the Holy Spirit. And of course, Anna was there also, a very old woman who, the Bible says, never left the temple. She stayed there night and day throughout her life. Going to have to quiet him down or take him in the back there, Steve. The Lord called her, and she served the Lord for the rest of her life. She was married about 7 years, and then her husband was taken away by the Lord in death, and she stayed there the rest of her life. Now think about that, coming to church and never leaving. Of course, their church is a little bigger, and the temple in Jerusalem, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and one of the biggest assembly places at that time in the world, in the courtyard where the women would be. But serving there, praying and praising God all your life, and just staying there in the Lord's temple. That was her life. That was what she saw her purpose to be that day. She was one of the few women also who in the Bible are named as prophets. Now both Simeon and Anna rejoiced to see this child because they recognized who he really was by God's telling them somehow that he would be the promised one. Now, our text says that when Simeon saw Jesus, the child, he picked him up in his own hands, and he said these words. I guess this is my own rendering of it. Lord, I'm ready to go now, because my eyes have seen the answer you promised. And all the people can see it too, who are gathered here in the Lord's house. He has come to help the Gentiles and to be the glory of your people Israel. Now, friends, these words should be familiar to you. It's a part of our liturgy. Although here at St. John, we don't often sing this, usually in the Christmas season. We call it, from the Latin, the Nunc Dimittis, which really means, Lord, now dismiss me. I remember as a child hearing this song in the hymnal that we used that time. Now here we have a new hymnal, and now the new hymnal is an old hymnal, and in a few weeks we'll be getting the new hymnal. But this same tune is in that hymnal, and maybe we can get it out singing. But I remember these words, and they're just imprinted in my mind in this melody. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. You older people, remember that? We used to sing that every Sunday after communion, didn't we? When you got back from the altar and you went back to your pew, we'd all stand up and sing that together. It was the post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis. Now, in those days, when I was a kid, the children didn't come up to the altar. So we just kind of sat back there and waited for our parents to come back to the pew. And I always remember singing that song with gusto, very happy, because it meant the service was almost over. And I'd be going to Sunday school, which was fun, and then I got to go play on Sunday afternoon. Now, I didn't receive the Lord's Supper as a child, but like Simeon, I had seen the salvation that God had prepared for his people, Israel. God had given us, our congregation, his word in that sermon that the pastor preached. And then my parents and my older brothers and the rest of my church family had gone up and received the body and blood of the Lord in the bread and the wine. And God had smiled upon us for the salvation of the people. These things were given out. This is where I was taught that God visited his people today. And that's why my family and my church family gathered each Sunday and other festivals to be there to see the salvation of the Lord brought down to earth. And I think it's not surprising that for tens of centuries, this has been the custom of God's church to sing this song of Simeon in one melody or another, because they, like us, saw the Lord's Supper and the preaching of God's word as God making his love known and getting his people ready for heaven, that when they came back from hearing a sermon of the word of God and when they came back from eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ, as he said in that bread and wine, they were ready for heaven. They'd seen God's salvation in the clearest way it's revealed in this world, in those words, in that word and sacrament. And so when you got done with the Lord's Supper and the sermon, what better words could we come up with than to repeat those of Simeon? I think older people have an unusual clarity about what's really important in life. I mean, when you get past even that retirement age and you start thinking about how many years, weeks, months, days you have to live, there's a clarity that comes upon you, especially for Christians. Most important to you is what God has done for you, your family, your friends, and focusing on the Lord and his goodness to you. Simeon and Anna remind us at all ages of life, in every stage, to keep the number one thing the number one thing. And that is to be receiving the goodness of the Lord and seeing his salvation. So this being the eve of the new year, we think about that. As I said, we look back over 2006 in the last year, and we think about how God has been good to us and how he has blessed us. And we examine ourselves and we ask that question to ourselves. Has Jesus Christ and his goodness and love to us been the number one thing in our life? Or has it been number two or number three or number four? Well, I'm sure you say, yes, Pastor, it's been number one for me. But I have to tell you, St. John people, I beg to differ with you on this for one point. For you have not showed your church that God is number one in your life, most of you. For this reason, if you've been here consistently the last several weeks, last month or so, you'll remember that two Sundays in a row I ask you, as the people of God, to do a simple thing. To look over a form which we call a time and talent sheet. And I asked you on two occasions to seriously consider that sheet and look over your life and see if there wasn't something on that sheet that you might be willing to do to serve God. Not even as a commitment. I wasn't asking you for a commitment of any sort, but just to consider it and mark something you might be interested in serving God and to give that back to the church. Now, the last time I checked, out of a possible 800 or so of you, that adults that attend church here, guess how many of these I got back? Not 800. Not even 100. Not even 50. But about 40. Now, 40 out of about 800 took me seriously. Why so few? What is that, about 5%? Well, I suppose people would say, I forgot. Well, guess what? I mailed it to you. I put it in your service folder two Sundays in a row. I guess I could have walked up and pinned it on your shirt, but that would be a little bit childish, wouldn't it? I even pleaded with you in person. Well, what's on this sheet anyway, if you looked at it? Well, simple things like praying for other people, attending services here regularly, which every healthy person should be glad to do. Maybe give someone a ride to church or cook a meal once in a while or serve on a group or help the youth or meet for Bible study. But I have to wonder, after such a dead response to something that we do just about every year here, what the problem is. And if you listen to anything your pastor says, or is it all just one in one ear and out the other? What's wrong? But more importantly, what do you say when God comes to you and makes his salvation known to you, as he did to Simeon and Anna, and asks for your assistance? You know, there's a parable about this in the Bible that Jesus told. It's recorded that Jesus told this parable. He said that a man threw a banquet and he invited all the guests, all his friends and neighbors, people who were important in his life. And you know what reply he got back? Some said, well, I'm too busy because I'm buying a field and I've got to go inspect it. And others said, well, I'm buying a donkey and I've got to go look at it, or oxen. And others said, hey, I just got married and it's time for the honeymoon. I'll catch up with you later. All valid things, but such a response shows where the heart is. And so the master said, well, that's okay. I'll get some other people to come to the banquet. And so he sent his servants out into the world and he had them go to the street corners and say, come on to my banquet. And they did come. And that tells us that if we're too busy for the Lord and we're concerned with other things when he calls to us, well, he'll just go find someone else. That's how we Gentiles came to be in the Lord's house when the Jews, or many Jews, rejected him. Now, we may be too busy for the Lord's business, but the Lord is never too busy for us. And that's the good news. That's what Simeon and Anna saw there in the temple that day. God was spending time with us, and not just a little time, but 33 years he spent with us. And his service was like no other, even giving his life for us to save us, to buy us back from this sinful busyness, this self-absorption that overcomes us continually. Now, if that doesn't catch your attention, then nothing will. And then there's that Anna. She didn't have time for anything else but to serve the Lord, being there at his temple. She never went home. Oh, but don't get me wrong. I don't want you to stay here, you know, the rest of your life. No. This is just merely a house where God meets with us. But he also sends us into the world. And it is up to you to consider how you serve God out there in the world. Yes, with your family, at your place of employment, and out in society in the many contexts that you have. But also to come to this temple of the Lord and to serve those outside your family, to serve those who God says are really the treasures of the church. And I think that's what we need to concentrate on in our lives, to reach out beyond ourselves and our immediate family to those who perhaps have no family or can't join with us here or are just so young they need to learn about it. I'm talking about the children and the elderly and those who grieve and those who are in any kind of need in this difficult world. That's what congregations do. That's the work that God has given us, and we delight in it. It's really a joy to see these people and to be a help to them and to think why we did it. We did it because the Lord has blessed and come and helped us in our lives. Now, you know, at this time of the year, people make all kinds of New Year's resolutions. So if you're going to do that, rather than just thinking about losing weight or going to the gym or not eating candy as much as we do or whatever, save more money, consider this. Look at all that God has done for you and choose a way to return thanks. Not because I told you you have to do it to be a good Christian or to be a good Lutheran or to be a good member of this church. Not in any way because of that. God doesn't want that kind of guilty service. But consider all that he's done for you. Bask in all the blessings that you have received. And serve someone else because you want to. Because you're full of the joy and you've seen the salvation of the Lord like Simeon and Anna. And you want to share that with someone else. Maybe they already know about Christ. That doesn't matter. But be a blessing to others as God has been a blessing to you. If you do want to fill out one of these forms, you can find one in the narthex table. They'll be there for the next 3 or 4 months. But that's not the most important thing. But just to be Christ to another person. Now, we've got 365 1/4 days to do this before you get another one of these sermons. So the Lord be with you, the Lord bless you, and the Lord smile upon you as you go forth from his house and into his world. In Jesus' name, amen.